an email that Mr. Cox wrote back in March of this year, when everyone in our neighborhood had the opportunity to clean their roofs and siding of their villas at a very substantial reduction in cost because the majority of the villas were having this done. And you have a copy of that email in the front of that packet. And you can read it in its entirety, but I'm going to just read it in part. And I quote, he says, "Honestly, I am not interested in spending another dime on this villa. Certainly not any money that will increase the value of any other villa. Considering the way some of the permanent residents has treated us, including our common wall neighbor, thanks, but no thanks." If you go down to paragraph 2, he says, "Now we have a home that we are afraid to rent and probably can't sell due to the nightly rental mess. So I ask you, if he is not willing to invest to have his roof clean, as he makes it very clear in his email that he is not willing to spend another dime on this villa, what makes you think that he will be willing to invest the $6,000 that the fire department is going to require of him to put the fire suppression system in that unit, since this has never been a nightly rental and it cannot be grandfathered in? Rather than expressing a vendetta against the community, he should have wanted to have spent the $400 to keep up his investment rather than to let his unit deteriorate." The next two pictures that are in your packet, they look very, very similar. But the first one is my villa against his villa, showing the roof. And the second one is showing his villa against the next door neighbor. And as you can plainly see, both units either side of him had their units clean, but he did not. Again, we have the issue of the barrier. The developer designed these villas to be single family residents and not to be used for commercial properties. We actually bought the unit when it was still the foundations, and we watched it being built. One of the original contractors verified that the specs in these units are separated by only 2x4 studs, insulated with a 5/8 drywall on each interior side of the wall with 1.5-inch airspace between the walls, which is not adequate or sufficient to keep the sound out. So there is no way there is 13.5 inches of space, as Mr. Cox's concept application indicates. Then the parking. You have a picture of a steep driveway. His drawing is showing that he has room for 6 cars, but it will not accommodate parking that many vehicles because of the grade of the driveway. In his email, he also agrees that the nightly rental issue has devalued his property and he probably can't sell it. This is an issue that we have continually brought up here before you, the board, because these rentals are causing the property values in Branson Creek to go down. And you've heard several people this evening from other subdivisions bring up to you that the Branson Creek nightly rental situation is a mess. One of the last items in your package is a letter from our physician, who has treated my husband for the past 45 years. And that letter is telling you that this situation would be very, very detrimental to his health. And on the back, I clipped, and it's not inside the packet because I received this very, very late this evening, an email from a neighbor. And I won't read it because of the language of it, but it's very, very self-explanatory, and she is explaining a situation that she encountered with Mr. Cox, and I think it goes towards attitude. In closing, I request that you deny this application because this unit for 11 years was a single-family residence and was not on any nightly rental program. And obviously, number two, he does not want to spend the money to bring this unit up to safety standards. And number three, the parking is inadequate. Number four, we still have the barrier issue. And number five, which is very, very, very personally important to me, is my husband's health. I thank you.
Thank you. Karen Murphy.
Just kind of seems like deja vu, doesn't it? Hearing everybody tonight, you know, on compatibility and that the P&Z didn't stick by their rules of compatibility. But here on this application, it says it is a three-bedroom. Is there a floor plan? Do you see and is it confirmed that it is a three-bedroom? Because the loft cannot be used as a bedroom, and I understand that the dining room, where the study is a dining room. It is not a three-bedroom. So how did you determine that it was a three-bedroom?
If you're asking me, I mean, that'll be done with field work, and we haven't done our field work on this one yet, as it hasn't been approved. But and they're not a rental.
How can they put on their application that it is a three-bedroom when it's not?
Maybe their plans are to convert it to the three-bedroom definition, to match the definition.
Doesn't say that on the application. It says that it is a three-bedroom.
Well, if they modify the... And they knew the bedroom definitions, so that was done over them in the pre-application.
Well, the definition of a bedroom is a door.
Right.
A operating window and a closet.
No, it's a window.
It has to be an operating
window. No, it says a window in our definition, Karen. You're making words for our definition now.
Okay. Well, the fire department wants it to be an operating
window. No, the fire department told me that window was fine, so... I'll argue
and
with you on that fact.
Yeah, we have follow-up on that. Okay. It says it is 1,893 square feet on the tax rolls even. Rolfing Appraisals has measured our units, and they are 1,625. So the county's got some extra taxes here for a long time. The actual footage is 1,627 or 25. The common wall. There's no drawing. We don't see a drawing of the common wall. On the blueprint, there should have been a drawing of the common wall on the blueprint as to how it had to be built. Taking their word on a letter saying this is what the common wall is should not be sufficient or suffice. You should have a drawing. It could have gotten off of the blueprint or the specs, but they didn't do that. So the buffered drawing is not with the application. Also, we own the front entry. We own our sidewalks. They did not put any buffer between the front entry. It's not there. So this application is incomplete, in my estimation. And we did get confirmation today by one of the builders about how the common wall was built. And, of course, it is not adequate for sound when you have... renters with kids knocking on the wall. It is not even 50% soundproof. It is a steep driveway. She has said that before. It is a very steep driveway. And when they are steep driveways, because you have approved 20 of them, not all of them are steep driveways, but many are, they don't want to park on the steep because they can't get out of the car. They fall back. So the driveway is not sufficient for the number of cars that they... Well, the cars can park there. That is true. But the renters won't use it because they can't get out of their car, so they park on the street.
None of them have ever backed in?
Pardon me?
None of them have ever backed in?
No. We've never seen a car backed in. We have some owners that back into their garage for safety. So I would definitely think that this application should be denied on the basis that it's not complete and there are issues with nightly rentals. And especially since Branson Creek is the one that pointed out all the deficiencies that were not met by the P&Z on the original 16 applications for Branson Creek. We probably wouldn't have this problem right now, today, with everybody else coming in saying, you know, it's not compatible. We are a residential community. So therefore, you changed the code. You took out what you didn't follow because we pointed it out. And those changes have been made except for the barrier. And it still says shall. And I thank you very much for keeping the word shall in. And the 90 days is also a very good addition to it. But there are some things on car registers and things like that that should have been left in. But Branson Creek has been a leader in trying to fight these nightly rentals. I believe that we were adequate in everything that we presented to you. And so we are presenting again, and we would request that this one be denied. Let's get it started for the denials. Thank you.
Thank you. Jessica Cox.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I don't really want to address any of their questions because that's not what we're here for. So if you guys have any questions for me, I would be happy to answer them.
So where did you come up with the dimensions of the wall?
We actually cut into the wall to install a TV bracket, a mounted TV bracket on the wall. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to measure at that time how deep it was. Just for our own knowledge, we kept up with that. And I'd be happy to cut into the wall again if you would like me to.
Anything else that you would like to ask this lady?
No, I think we're all pretty well saying.
And I have...
I think we've covered this ground pretty well before.
We've covered it about 20 times.
We are willing to spend the money on our place. Obviously, we've invested a lot of time and money and effort into this. So those concerns as far as the $7,000 is what the fire chief told me this week was what the cost would be for the sprinkler system. That's no problem at all for us. Because it is an investment for our family.
You have to meet the requirements of the CNC. Yeah. Isn't issued anyway.
So yes.
We're quite sure you will. You know,
yes,
or you will, or you're not permitted.
Or you won't be permitted.
Exactly.
Anything further? Monday, October 16th.
All right. Thank you.
This starts at 6 o'clock.